you're going to be like, wow, that Ruby girl is really, really cool. And I want to be your friend. Ruby, 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 Ruby!
Caters, UberNerd527 here. Welcome to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast and our new minicast, Ruby Roundup, where we're going through episode by episode of Volume 3 of Ruby as the episodes are coming out. Just before we get started, again, I always want to go ahead and say that we are going to be doing spoilers, so if you haven't seen the episode, which we'll be doing today, which is Episode 4, please, please, please make sure you watch the episode before listening to the rest of this podcast. Now, also before we get into it, I wanted to go and just say that you may have heard some noise in the background as I'm talking, and that is because, I don't know, I may have been inspired by Winter's little speech, so I decided to get out in the world today and just kind of sit down and relax. So I've taken the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast on the road today, so you may hear some noises, some cars, some motorcycles, so I apologize for that in advance. But I just decided it was a nice, beautiful day, and I wanted to be outside for a little bit while I did the podcast, so please forgive any intrusions as I'm recording. So, let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is Lessons Learned, Episode 4 of Volume 3 of Ruby. So the episode starts off with the fight that we ended with the last episode, Emerald and Mercury versus Coco and Yatsu. Yes, I can finally say his name now because I've heard it several times. Of course, I'm also paraphrasing it, so that's not his full name. So I'm just going to call him Yatsu through the whole episode, so please forgive me. We start off with seeing exactly what terrain they're going to have, and I was really surprised by seeing that they had four different terrains, which was really kind of cool. It was like a broken down city. It was a geyser, a forest, and kind of like a tall grassland that I thought was kind of neat. So, you know, seeing all four of those was really kind of neat and interesting, and very just started off going, oh wow, this is awesome. So after that, the match of course starts, and then instead of going right after the team, Emerald and Mercury just go hiding in the large bush. So Coco and Yatsu decide to flush them out. Coco pulls out her weapon. By the way, Coco and Yatsu are from Team Coffee, which we were introduced to last season at the very end. So if you haven't seen that yet, they're really, really cool characters. I was really excited to see them fight. So we actually get to see them now. Coco's weapon turns into looks like a little purse, but then transforms into this Gatling gun. She pulls that out and starts trying to flush the two of them out of the grass. But they have totally disappeared. Now, for a minute, you try to see what's going on. Where are they? And all of a sudden, Mercury comes down and starts attacking both of them. And let me just say, Mercury is an amazing fighter. He fights off both of them with a lot of ease. One thing that they pointed out, though, is that Emerald is nowhere to be found. So Mercury is dominating the two of them. They're trying to fight back. They only get a little bit of headway. Coco, all of a sudden, is pulled into the forest, obviously, by Emerald. And so then it's Yatsu and Mercury versus each other, and then Emerald and Coco versus each other. We get to see the two of them fight. Mercury pretty much dominates the fight between Yatsu, although Yatsu does get a good couple shots in. He really just dominates the fight between the two of them. And, of course, Mercury is the victor between the two. But then we see the fight between Emerald and Coco, and I think this fight is a little interesting. Emerald definitely dominates the fight, not only because of her skill, but also she likes to play mind games, as you probably saw in the episode. Now, one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting, though, is there's a scene where Yatsu shows up right behind Coco, and she thinks that he's come to help, but then Coco sees that Yatsu has been defeated by Mercury, and then realizes that this is an illusion. So is this Emerald's semblance? Does she have some type of illusion ability? We don't know. Maybe this is kind of a teaser for that. So hopefully that will be happening. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more of that a little bit later on. And of course, then after the fight's over and Mercury and Emerald are the victors, Cinder goes ahead and leaves, kind of like proud of her minions' work, I guess. So that's the end of that scene. It was a very quick fight scene. We move on to Winter and Weiss kind of having tea together, just having a nice kind of conversation with each other. And you can tell that Winter is very proud of her sister. She's very proud of what she's done, but she knows that she can do more. She's much more powerful than what she is currently. And she is wanting to try to push her sister a little bit more. Now, one of the things that you can also tell is that the two of them have had a hard relationship with their father. What that means about their father, I'm not sure. It could mean that their father is a little difficult, maybe a little strict. I'm not really sure. But you can tell that they've both had kind of a hard relationship with their father, and it's really kind of neat to see their relationship with each other. Now, one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting that Winter brought up is that the Schnees have a very unique ability to summon creatures, which is a semblance that is hereditary in the Schnees, which I thought was kind of an interesting factoid to find out in this episode. I really quite enjoyed that, and I can't wait to see what else and what kind of things that Winter and Weiss can actually summon. Now, in the episode, Winter does summon a Grimm made of ice to show off what she could do if she pushes herself, which I thought was kind of neat. Then we go on to Crow, Ruby, and Yang. Now, when we first get into this scene, Crow and Ruby are fighting in a video game, which I thought was pretty interesting that the Ruby world has video games. So I love the controllers, by the way. Very high-tech, very cool, very interesting looking. So I really did enjoy that. You can tell that Crow is awesome at video games because not only does he dominate both Yang and Ruby in the game, but he does it flawlessly, which is kind of an interesting little thing as well. As this is going on, Ruby asks Crow to tell a story about whatever Crow's last mission was. And so Crow starts to tell this story about him going to a village that's near the swamps west of Mistral, and he's there to get some info, and he takes some refuge in a questionable inn. And then, of course, he says he's defeated. Everyone's like, oh. Even me, I was kind of sitting there going, oh, what? He was defeated? By who? Who? And then they make the joke about he was defeated by a very beautiful innkeeper and her short skirt. So it was kind of a, oh, okay. It was a little joke there. Okay, I get it. After this little story, of course, Ruby's kind of wondering why Crow is there, because she was told by her father that Crow was on an extended mission for a long time. She just wanted to know why he was in town. First of all, Crow talking about Ozpin and the fact that, you know, he had to talk to Ozpin, and Ruby and Yang saying, oh, we've been through a lot too. We've done a whole bunch. We've stopped this. We've fought this. We've stopped that. And Crow basically was telling him, wait a minute, kids, you're lucky to be alive right now. If you're going to save somebody, you need to save them. At the end of Volume 2, they just barely stopped the train from crashing and letting all the Grimm out. And Crow was saying, you know, if you succeeded for that, you would have actually stopped the train before anything would have happened to the town. And I think what he's trying to say to them is he's trying to tell them, don't get cocky. Don't puff yourself up just yet. Yes, you've been through a lot, but there's more coming, and you need to be ready for this, and you need to learn, and you need to grow, and you need to continue to grow, because if you think that you've reached the pinnacle, then you're never going to improve, which I thought was very sound advice. But I think I'm jumping a little bit ahead, because after that, after Crow's kind of warning to them, Crow then talks about his old team, Team Stark, which I thought was really cool. They brought up the photo that we've been seeing in the theme for every episode, which was really neat. One of the things that I caught, though, first of all, this is where Crow met Ruby and Yang's parents. So I don't know if Crow is actually related to Ruby and Yang, he might be. But also, one of the things I also noticed was that Crow was covering up Summer Rose's face with his thumb. Now, I don't know if that's on purpose. It probably is on purpose, more than likely. But you can see that Yang is kind of staring at that picture. Even though Crow is covering up, she knows that's her mom. And she's just intensely staring at the picture. Before Yang gets, like, too close to the picture, Crow kind of snatches it up. So, what does this mean? I'm not sure. But I'm sure we'll find out later on. So, then we go back to them. Of course, Crow leaves. And, of course, gives them advice about always moving forward and never stopping. You can tell that Crow is very proud of both Ruby and Yang and what they've accomplished. He's just making sure that they don't, you know, get full of themselves. That they continue to improve because he knows that there's something else a lot scarier out there and a lot more powerful than they've been fighting. And I think he just really wants them to be ready. And I kind of enjoyed that. So, after Crow leaves, we go back to Winter and Weiss. And I love the little caterpillar shot. Obviously, this is on purpose. You know, being caterpillars turn into chrysalis and then chrysalis to butterflies. Or if you're Pokemon fans, Caterpie to Metapod, Metapod to Butterfree. Anyways, this was on purpose, I think, to really emphasize kind of what Crow was talking about and what Winter is talking about as well. So Winter starts kind of training Weiss a little bit to summon, and the one problem is that Weiss is doubting herself the whole time. She tries to kind of get to the core of why she's doubting herself. One of the things is that Weiss is worried about these money problems that she's been having. Obviously, if you remember way back in episode 1, I can't believe how far back episode 1 is now, Weiss was not able to pay for all the food that they were buying because her father had cut her off from her money. And of course, Winter, you can see, kind of knows that this has been happening. You know, Weiss gets angry and tries to summon again, but Winter gives her some really good advice and tells her, listen, emotions can give you strength, but you can't let your emotions take hold of you. She gives her some more advice that I think was kind of interesting. First of all, she says that she has a choice in front of her. She can either call her dad and beg for her money back and then have to explain why she didn't go to Atlas, which is one of the other schools in Remnant, or she can just go out on herself and discover the world. And one of the things that she said was discover herself. I really kind of enjoyed this kind of advice, letting Weiss know that you can either stay in your father's shadow and do exactly what he says, or you can kind of do your own thing. You can find out your own way, your own path. Then, of course, Winter has to leave. Now, is she gone for the rest of the volume? I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping she comes back. I really like this character, so I'm hoping this is not the last time we see Winter. So as Winter and Weiss are leaving the little porch area that they were sitting in, you see that caterpillar again, and then you see a very small little ice sword that's in the ground, which tells me that Weiss did summon something. It was just really, really tiny. Is it me, or did that sword look very similar to the knight that she was fighting in the white trailer? Very, very beginning of Ruby. Let me know what you think when you comment. Leave comments and stuff. So then, of course, at the end, you see Weiss waving to her sister as she flies off in her ship. Then you see that Weiss gets a call from her father, and she ignores the call and goes off, letting us know that she has chosen to kind of do her own thing and not necessarily worry about what her father wants. So that was the end of the episode. I know it was really short. It wasn't a very long... It didn't feel like a very long episode. It was about 14 or 15 minutes. But really wasn't all that long, to tell you the truth. Story-wise, it at least didn't seem that way. Now, let's go into my pros and cons for this episode. So my first pro is, again, and I've said this throughout the entire episode, I'm going to say it again, I really love the relationship between Winter and Weiss and Crow and Yang and Ruby. I love the similarities, too, because you can see that Crow and Winter are giving the younger ones pretty much the same advice. Because I think they know what's going on. I think they know that they're going to have to get involved at some point, and I think they know that the younger ones can get a little bit more powerful than they currently are. And I think that's very interesting. I really love that. And as an older brother myself, I really, really kind of like that relationship. I kind of enjoy that. When I first heard about Winter, I saw a lot of speculation of what Winter's personality would be online. A lot of people speculating what they thought Winter would be like. And to tell you the truth, I don't think anyone got it right, really. You know, most people thought she was going to be like a brat. She was going to be like the favorite, the child that, you know, the father loved the most. And or I saw somebody else do a comparison to Winter and Weiss and Zuko and his sister, which the name is escaping me, from Avatar: The Last Airbender. And I don't see that. I see that Winter very much cares for her sister and very much wants her to be the best that she can be, and at times can be harsh. Like, again, she slapped her sister again, but I don't think it's out of any kind of meanness. I really just think it's literally smacking her back into reality. I think that's what it is. I did enjoy the character. Again, I really hope this isn't the last time we see Winter Schnee. I really hope we see more of her. I really hope she comes back. And by the way, shout out to Elizabeth Maxwell, who retweeted me and hopefully has listened to the podcast, because Elizabeth Maxwell, in case you don't remember from last episode, she is the voice of Winter Schnee. And I tweeted at her that we talked about her in the last episode, and she tweeted back saying that she was going to listen to it. And so I hope she's listening to it. If she's listening to it now, you've done a great job. I really hope you come back. I really want to see more of Winter. So I hope you enjoyed the show as well. So let me go through some other pros that I enjoyed. First, setup. Now, the last couple of episodes, I've been complaining that this is setup and not a lot of action or adventure or whatever. This episode, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just getting used to it more. Maybe my geekdom is kind of calming down and kind of being a little bit more patient. I don't know. But I really truly enjoyed the setup in this story. It's still setup. We're still setting up the story. We're still getting some information that we need to know. But it's done very well. You know, they started off the story with a very short fight, which, by the way, I'm just going to jump over it right now. I'm just saying my only con for this episode was the fight at the beginning was very, very short. Or at least it seemed that way. It just seemed very, very short and kind of like very one-sided. It just seemed like Mercury and Emerald just dominated the other two, and the other two just didn't get any time to shine. I think that was the point, but still, I kind of wanted to see more from their fight. So I was a little disappointed with that, but other than that, that was really the only con I had. So, you know, this was set up, but this was set up done well. You had the short fight at the beginning, and then you had a lot of talking. And to kind of cut up the talking a little bit, you kind of went between Crow, Yang, and Ruby, and then Winter and Weiss. You kind of flip back and forth to both of them. But you could see that there's a through line in between the two of them, and that is the fact that they are giving the same advice. And it's very good advice, and I hope that Team Ruby kind of listens to this advice. Now, where is Blake in all this? I don't know. I don't know where she is right now. We haven't seen Blake since episode one, I believe. So what's she up to right now? I don't know. But I'm hoping to see her come back in a little bit. Finally, my last pro for the episode is the artwork that was used to tell Crow's story. During the little story that Crow tells, the artwork that they used is amazing. Very similar to the artwork that they used for Yang's story in the last volume, but it looked a little bit more detailed than the other one was. And I just love the artwork. I as an artist myself, I absolutely loved this artwork. I hope to see more of it. So whoever the artist is that is doing the artwork for all this, good on you. You did an amazing job. You're an amazing artist. I hope to see more from you in coming episodes of Ruby. So, believe it or not, folks, that's pretty much it for this episode of Ruby Roundup. Before we end the show, I do want to promote a new minicast that has already started and will be on. I will be trying to put them on every Saturday, and it's called Pokemon Rewind. For those of you Pokemon fans out there, we're doing a Pokemon podcast, and we're doing it very similar to what we've been doing for Ruby Roundup, but we're going through episodes of the Pokemon anime, but we're going episode by episode, but we're choosing random story arcs. And the first story arc we're going through is the Orange Islands. Now, the first episode will start this coming Saturday, which would be December the 5th. So if you want to jump on to that, it's a great jumping on point. The supplemental episode is already up on YouTube. Me and Danny, the Ultrasonic Player, talk a little bit about what to expect for the podcast. So if you want to get hyped about it, it's a good jumping on point from there. I really have enjoyed doing this podcast and also the Pokemon podcast, and I hope to continue to do them. I started the Pokemon Rewind podcast because I know there's a huge hiatus after Ruby episodes are done, so I kind of wanted to do something while Ruby wasn't going on. And also, I've kind of really enjoyed doing these podcasts, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to them. So I kind of want to keep doing them, so that's why I've done this Pokemon podcast as well as Ruby. So join us for those episodes. I hope you enjoy that. Keep listening, folks. Remember, you can comment. If you're listening to us on YouTube, you can comment below. If you're listening to us on the site, thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. Please comment. Please let me know how are we doing. I know the last episode has done very well on YouTube. I've got a lot of listeners listening to this, so I want to know what you guys think of this. So please leave comments and let me know how I'm doing, and if there's anything I can improve on, please let me know. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. Or you can follow me personally, at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, that's at TalesFTGameGrid. So, thank you again, folks, for listening to Ruby Roundup. Can't wait for the next episode. Ruby, 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 Ruby!
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.